Hello and welcome to the Post Op Podcast. This is Cyrus Rogers. I'm here with Kaunda Chama. They call him the Cham Man. Chama, how are you doing?
I'm good, man. I'm laking. That's how I'm doing.
Laking. I'm not sure what that means, but we'll call it a good thing. Because we don't want to call it anything else. But it's good to see you, man. And it's been another great week of NBA action. As always, the Post Op Podcast brings you some of the best in NBA basketball right here from the African continent. But let's, before we get into everything, Kaunda, let's give everybody our social media handles. We are at Post Op Podcast on Twitter, at Post Op Zone on Instagram, and at Post Op Zone on Facebook for all things NBA from an African perspective. Our partners, as always, want to thank them, supersport.com and bet.co.za, BetCoza. Kaunda, we're going to be talking about a topic that I'm always, always happy to talk about, and that's the young players turning up the heat on the older guys in the NBA. It's kind of like when you and I are hitting the court. No prizes for guessing which one of us is the young guy.
You got jokes. But
you know. But what we're seeing this season is, it's really heartening to see. And that's really that the scoring title race and basically the top scorers in the NBA right now are pretty young in general. When we look at the ages of the guys in the sort of top 10, it's really impressive to see who these guys are. I mean, we'll list them in terms of who's actually topping the scoring charts as we are recording this. And this is in the points per game stakes. So right now, you've got Luka Doncic absolutely lighting it up with averaging 34 points per game. I mean, that's ridiculous. And then right behind him, Stephen Curry, then Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, 31.1 points per game. Jason Tatum, 30.6 points per game. Giannis Antetokounmpo, 30.5. Donovan Mitchell, 30.1. Ja Morant, 28.9. Kevin Durant, 28.8. Trae Young, 27.6. And rounding out the top 10, Devin Booker, 27.4. These are some monster numbers, Kay.
So, Trae Young, no pun intended.
Well, I mean, what is the pun?
Well, if you're looking at youngsters.
Young guys. Young. Yes. Yeah, there we go.
That's what
I had to spell it out for him.
Cyrus, these youngsters are doing their thing on the floor. And sports, unless you're talking of lawn bowls, it's a young man's game, Cyrus. And I'm actually quite impressed that the youngins are actually stepping up and showing the big guys that, you know, it's really a young man's game, especially the new game, although it's very three-point heavy, but still, you know, the youngsters are the ones leading the charge, although we know who is the three-point leader, but he's not so young anymore, but he's still relatively a young guy.
But this is, well, I mean, compared to us, geez, you know, he'd have to go and get us cool drinks at the tuck shop if we told him to. And that's
Stephen Curry. He will carry our bags. And pun intended.
And call us sir. But I think the thing that we also have to mention, because we listed all of these guys in terms of, you know, their positions in the scoring charts from a points per game perspective, but let's look at their ages. Luka, 23. Shai, 24. Jason Tatum, 24. Giannis, 27. Donovan Mitchell, 26. Ja Morant, 23. Trae Young, 24. Devin Booker, 26. And then right outside of that, actually in 11th place, is Anthony Davis at 29. Now, the oldest guys in the top 10 are Steph Curry and Kevin Durant, both of them 34 years old. So you've got two guys in their 30s, mid-30s, who are, you know, really doing some incredible stuff. I mean, Steph is playing some of the best basketball of his career right now. And Kevin Durant has just been KD. You know, he's always in the scoring title stakes. But
well,
these
being
are the guys,
best scorer on that floor.
Night in, night out. But
Cyrus,
easy money sniper.
It phases me and amazes me of when did we even miss Steph's 30th birthday? You're talking about Steph being 34. I'm like, when did he even turn 30? Like,
yeah.
Anyway,
it was a while ago, and we're starting to age us.
Even when I look at him now, I'm like, this is a youngster, you know, but he's 34. But look, Cyrus, the youngsters are doing their thing. I'm glad to see in the early 20s. Putting up those impressive numbers and being basically de facto leaders to their teams. If you look at Luka, right? He's a leader. Mm. Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, you know, I wondered all the time. I always bring this up, Cyrus, and I know you're getting sick of it, that why did the Clippers let him go? But it was the time, right?
The Shea stuff had to do with getting PG in, and you got to give up something in order to get something in the NBA.
Absolutely. But you just look at Shea. He's becoming a leader there. Jason Tatum, unquestionable. He's a leader at the Celtics. Giannis, need we say more? Mm-hmm. Donovan Mitchell has arrived at the Cavs and has arrived at, like, you know your favorite cousin, the one with the best toys and the best sneakers that you want to borrow and the best jeans. That's Donovan Mitchell when he arrived at the Cavs. He's that cousin, you know, Cyrus. And Ja Morant is your young brother that makes you look bad because you tried to be a basketball star, then he comes and he lights everything up and you're like, I hate him. I hate him, but I love him because he's showing how I never achieved much, but he's such a blessing to the family. You know what I'm saying?
Such a blessing to the family.
Then KD is KD. Trae Young, we've always spoken about the whole Luka Trae Young trade and who won, who lost, who was fleeced. But as you can see,
it's a win-win.
It was a win-win situation for the Hawks and for the Mavs. And Cyrus, wow. I mean, one of my favorites has made it into the top 11, but I don't want to mention him because you're going to say I'm being very partial.
Anthony Davis.
To the Lakers. Yes.
Yeah, look.
So I'll let you mention it.
But this is the thing. I mean, when we look at it, there are only two guys in their 30s in this list. Sitting just outside the top 10 is Anthony Davis at 29. So he also proves that, you know, there's still youth is really doing a lot in the NBA right now. And, I mean, we could go further down into this list and see the likes of DeMar DeRozan doing quite well, but he's in his 30s. Then Jaylen Brown, another young guy. De'Aaron Fox, another young guy. Paul George, a little older. Zion Williamson, a young guy. Tyrese Maxey, young. Anthony Simons, young. Nikola Jokic, young. And then Lauri Markkanen completes the top 20, and he's also a young guy. So, you know, we look at these guys and we realize that there's a lot happening in terms of a seismic shift from an age perspective in terms of the star talent and the scoring leaders. What's intriguing for me is that there does seem to be a changing of the guard as such, not necessarily just formation-wise in terms of point guard, shooting guard, but in terms of older players taking a bit of a backseat and these younger guys just really shining a massive light on the NBA scoring scene. Luka in particular has just been unstoppable. But what's intriguing, though, Kaunda, is that when we look at all of these guys, Luka at the Dallas Mavs, Shea Gilgeous-Alexander at the Oklahoma City Thunder. Maybe even if we look at Trae Young, these guys have done so well, but their teams aren't necessarily the highest ranked teams in the NBA. So when you look at it, the scoring numbers are great, but the team numbers are suffering somewhat with a few of these guys. So some people call it stat padding, but I think these guys are just showing out on teams that could do better. Let's be very kind to those teams.
Cyrus, let me tell you where this comes from. I mean, when you mention stat padding, I always think of what people are saying about LeBron James trying to beat Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's, scoring title. But let's move away from that. I just had to throw LeBron in. You know what I did.
So I know you. So irritating. But it's Cyrus, all good.
But you know, it's all love. It's all love, Cyrus. Mm-hmm. This is why I love the way the NBA handles its draft. And then gives great players to teams that are struggling in an effort to sort of try and balance out the league. Because imagine if, in the past couple of years, the Golden State Warriors got the first pick.
Well, can you imagine they got the second pick a couple of years ago, and that turned into James Wiseman.
But if they got, like, imagine if the Warriors got Zion Williamson and the Warriors got, it would be crazy. But the way they, you know, they always flip things, and then the likes of a Cade Cunningham winds up at the Pistons because the Pistons are not doing that well. And then, you know what I mean?
The idea of parity.
And that idea of parity, it sometimes positions players at teams that are, so, very much struggling and tries to balance out the league. And you can look at situations like when, how did Zion Williamson wind up at the Pels? Because the Pelicans were basically trash and they got the number one pick and they got Zion Williamson. Cade Cunningham, same thing with the Detroit Pistons. Even if you take it back, to your likes of LeBron James. The reason why LeBron James wound up in Cleveland is because Cleveland were trash and they got the number one pick, right? Now, there obviously there are picks that are traded and you might wind up with this kind of pick, but looking at it in the whole all things being equal situation, the number one pick always winds up at the team that's struggling the most. But I think not always.
Like the Pelicans case, you win the lottery and then you win the lottery.
There's always the lottery, but you understand what the idea behind, you know, doing the lottery. The draft the way they do, because and that's how you wind up with a very great player like one of your favorite, one of our favorite, Paolo Banchero, winding up in Orlando, which is a team that's been struggling, right? And then you're like, oh my God, Paolo's gonna really perform there. We know that, but it's at a team that's struggling, and basically that's where you're like, oh my goodness, he's averaging such great numbers, but the team isn't doing so well. And I like that because at the end of the day, Cyrus, it balances out the league. Because if it was in a situation where you could gamble and the good teams always got the first pick, it would be domination like you've never seen.
No one would want that. I mean, because it kills competition, all of that stuff. But I guess
straight up,
the reality though is you also have to be able to pick good. And that's where you understand that nothing is a given. Yes, we talk about Zion, we talk about Paolo. The talent is undeniable, but it doesn't necessarily always blossom the way you expect it to. And sometimes some of those players, I mean, we could mention some Kwame Browns, but the reality is...
No, that's not even... You are going too far back. There's a youngster who's at the Magic right now. What's his name? It didn't quite work out.
Markel Fultz.
Yes, thank you, Cyrus. Yeah. You will get a Markel Fultz here, there, and everywhere, but you know, it happens because you also get a Ben Simmons. So, Cyrus, let's not even go to Kwame Brown.
I'm just saying there are historical precedents for the pick not always becoming somebody who will be transcendent, right? And I think that's
like Uncle Greg Oden.
Amongst others, you know, there are a few guys where you're like, okay.
He looks like my uncle, but he's younger than me. Was Greg Oden ever young? He's like the Morgan Freeman of the NBA.
We need to get you like some rails so you can just always stay on track. But anyway, just to go back to it, right? We're talking about the age of these guys. We're talking about their scoring ability and also the idea of them being on teams that aren't necessarily as good. Luka and the Mavs are not a bad team. They made it to the Western Conference Finals last season. But the thing for me in that kind of situation is you look at where they are now and they're kind of struggling. They're 10th in the West right now because everything happens through Luka Doncic. His usage rate is off the charts. Very James Harden-esque. So the next question is, how much of this is sustainable from a scoring perspective? And are we really seeing the youngsters take over? What's your view on that?
Look, I think in terms of sustainability, so in some places it is. With Luka, I fear that he might wind up being the James Harden, the Rockets James Harden, the Mavs version of the Rockets James Harden, where you just... expect him to do it all and expect him to save the team and put average to good players around him and then, you know, things just
hope
don't work
the best.
Out because, you know, and hope for the best. Or, you know, maybe Mark Cuban can make some crazy trade. But if you look at some of these other youngsters, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander happens to be lucky enough to wind up at an OKC franchise that is obviously rebuilding. But somehow it winds up with a couple of impressive youngsters there. But if you look at Trae Young is at a Hawks team that is not really rebuilding, but is trying to charge. It's trying to get there and see if it can. I mean, remember them winding up in the Eastern Conference Finals a couple of seasons ago, just you know, playing against Giannis and the Bucks. So you know they're not really rebuilding because their core has remained relatively the same. But I'm glad that
they had a poor season last season.
DeJounte Murray, who might do some stuff over there, right? But if you look at other youngsters, Zion Williamson, Ja Morant, those kind of youngsters, the teams they're at, Ja Morant I'm loving the Grizzlies. They could do something. They're that fun young team that wants to do stuff. So when they're all healthy, they can cause problems, even for the likes of the Warriors sometimes.
But is this a changing of the guard though? Like as we talk about all of these guys.
Cyrus, let me tell you the truth. LeBron is getting older. The Lakers team is going to become 80.
Getting older. His gray hairs got gray hairs. So, but yeah.
Some people just get gray at a younger age. But look, he's the third, I think he's the third oldest player in the league, which shows you that it's about time Anthony Davis started doing what he's been doing in the last couple of games. And that's taking over and showing that he can lead that charge. If you look at Kevin Durant is going to get, he's definitely getting older and he's not going to be the Kevin Durant for much longer. Give him a couple of four seasons, things are going to change. Same can be said for Steph. Same can be said for Kyrie. Same can be said for a lot of guys, some of the guys out there who, even Jimmy Butler.
They've dominated in the past, yeah.
Yeah, we always forget a guy like Jimmy Butler because he's a great player, gave him superstar status last season, but sometimes he flies under the radar and you forget that he's actually there. Don't forget that even some of our favorite, Rudy Gobert, Karl Anthony Towns, Andrew Wiggins, all those guys, they're not getting any younger. And they're going to have to start stepping back and letting youngsters take over their positions.
Well, Cat's still quite young, Wiggins too.
They're not getting any younger, Cyrus, and big guys who, you know, like a Victor Wembanyama alongside Kat would be Kat's little brother. This is where I'm trying to go with
that. I get you.
There are players who have to hand over the torch even before they reach that point we call greatness because they missed the mark. Can I tell you a classic example you and I love who had to hand over those reins before he got great? And that was Vince Carter. Vince Carter never played up to that. You know, he was tipped to be one of the next Michael Jordans. You know, like this is the next MJ. But he never reached that greatness, but struggled, pushed, maybe wound up at the wrong franchises, but had to hand over the torch at one point to say, okay, I am this dunking machine, but not anymore. I've just got to, you know, let it go. Well, and that could happen to a lot of guys that we love, your likes of Cat, your likes of Wiggins, kind of players, your likes of Jimmy Butler.
But let's look at these guys now.
It's the changing of the guards. It's coming sooner than we think because players are getting much younger when they get into the league, especially the one and dones and the guys that are coming straight out of high school, you know, your phenoms. And then, Cyrus, like we said at the beginning of the podcast, it's a young man's game, right?
Yeah, it is. And I guess this is the thing I'm looking at here is that when you look at the scoring title race, often that's also an indicator as to who would be one of the sort of front runners for MVP. And so you look at pretty good scorer, team doing well in the league, and those two things combined often puts you in that main conversation. That's why we're seeing the likes of Jason Tatum's name being thrown in there, Giannis Antetokounmpo, Ja Morant. These guys, they'll always be there. Your Stephs and KDs as well. Luka, obviously, because of what he's doing at the Mavs. It's just that the Mavs will need to do a heck of a lot more in order for Luka's MVP credentials to be a lot more solidified. But I guess I agree in the sense that we are seeing a bit of a changing of the guard, though I do think, obviously it's still early in the season, some of the numbers might taper off because of, you know, wear and tear, people getting tired, and also just in terms of where the teams are. Like, I look at somebody like Shea, and I wonder, I mean, you know, he's averaging over 30 points a game, you know, at 31 points per game. The Thunder aren't winning all of those games that he's performing so well in, but he's still going out there and doing it night in, night out. So, you know, his particular credentials for, you know, top honors like MVP might fade away because of how bad the team is, but he could be up there for like a, you know, most improved or, you know, one of those sort of categories. I do think that we are seeing a real shift towards younger scorers finding their touch in the NBA game a lot sooner. Because as we mentioned, the ages, right? Luka's 23. Mm-hmm. He's been playing pro for a long time. So this isn't really new for him. But somebody like Shea at 24 is in the same bracket as Tatum at 24. and Trae Young at 24. So all of these guys are all rising at the same time. And that's where I see a class. Like Ja Morant is 23, Luka's 23. So there's a class of guys between 23 and 24 who are really sort of establishing themselves as the go-to guys. And every single one of these guys will have the ball in their hands at the end of the game. So I do think that, yes, we are seeing a changing of the guard, but it's also one of those where it's a wait-and-see thing as well, because as much as things change, you can never count out some of the other superstars like Steph Curry, especially when you look at the NBA Finals last season. These are the kind of guys who really rise to the top. The last thing on these young guys that I want to ask you, Kay, has to do with the fact that we will start talking as we get, I mean, we're like a quarter into the season now. As we get closer to three quarters into the season, and I guess even the halfway point, if we really think about it, we'll see some guys becoming all-stars and the talk around all-stars being a thing and then potential scoring champions. Let's look at all-stars here. Of this list of guys who are leading in the scoring stakes, who do you think are the nailed-on all-stars for you?
You love putting me back against the wall to be judged by the listeners, but I love it, Cyrus. You always give me
I think
a challenge.
I think there's guys always give you, me a those challenge. Names are definitely there. I'm not saying to you.
Can I give you
we're going to keep these
order?
Receipts. Yeah, please.
No, keep my receipts. I want you to keep my receipts.
Mark the Luca. Date. The receipts have been kept. Yes, Luca, I agree with you.
24th of November 2022, Cyrus. Luca, you got to agree with me. Jason Tatum.
Yeah.
Giannis Antetokounmpo. Need I even mention that name? Donovan Mitchell. Ja Morant. Okay. Kevin Durant, I'm not going to say because, you know, that's KD. Trae Young. Devin Booker.
Those are nailed on all stars for you.
Nailed on all stars. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander might sneak in, but I'm not too sure at the moment. I have to see the rest of December into Jan, see what's happening. Obviously, we start voting December-ish, right?
Yeah, I think it sort of starts late December, just after Christmas. Christmas.
So I think Shai is the only one on this list that I'm not really sure because, we've got to check.
He hasn't been an All-Star before, and he could be a first-time All-Star. I guess even if the Thunder aren't doing great, but he's still putting up these numbers, I doubt that they're going to look past him. And he's a player that a lot of fans like. And I think that can be said for pretty much anyone in this list.
I was about to say that, Cyrus, because with All-Star, you also have to be likable. Unless you're that super-duper villain that everybody can't ignore. You got to play your cards right. You're either very likable and skilled or very skilled and you're that villain that everybody says, look, so he is that guy.
So what's interesting about how we've just spoken about this, and we'll come back to it when we're getting into the All-Star stakes, when we get closer to it, right? Is this, just think about this, Kay. So you said Luka nailed on. Shai, maybe, we don't know. Tatum, definite. Giannis, definite. Donovan Mitchell?
Straight up.
Definite, right? Ja Morant, definite. All of this health determinant, all of that. KD, Trae Young, Devin Booker. These are all-stars, right?
Yep.
Let's then look at them from a conference perspective. Luka, West. I mean, obviously, this doesn't necessarily matter when it comes to how they pick the teams, but when you're actually selecting the guys in the All-Star to make it, there is a West and the East component. So you got Luka, West. Shai, West. Tatum, East. Giannis, East. Donovan Mitchell, East. Ja, West. KD, East. Trae, East. Booker, West. When you think about the guys who are in the East, and in terms of the names that are there from a guard's perspective, there's a lot of people you've got to squeeze into a small-ish number of positions. So I wouldn't be surprised if we see somebody miss out.
When you put it like that, that's when one of your favorites misses out and you start wondering and, you know, you start gnashing your teeth and saying,
how did this happen?
Yeah, somebody
was snubbed.
Was snubbed. That's when that big S word starts rearing its ugly head, right? So, hey, all-star snubs. But Cyrus, there's only so many spaces on the bus, right?
And that's what makes it so important.
Yeah. Well, Cyrus, anyway, important, maybe you picked a very deep word. I think exciting is a better word.
All-star is always important because it means something to the player. People's salaries get bumped up if you get an all-star selection. It has importance, Kanda.
No, I wasn't saying it's not important, but, you know, when you say important, it's kind of like you're equating it to an all-NBA team.
It isn't the most important, but All-Star is important.
It's very important. Look, Cyrus, I got to give respect. I mean, I will always say this person's an 8-time All-Star, this person's a 10-time All-Star, whatever. I mean, one of my favorites, Kobe Bryant, he was an All-Star apart from maybe 1 year of his career. That's like, for me, like, yo, you know what I'm saying? This guy, Kobe, is a legend. But, like, for me, All-Star and All-NBA team. I always put All-NBA team above All-Star, but that's neither here nor there.
It makes sense because of what it means, you know what, I mean, what it equates to. Yeah, and All-NBA is not necessarily a popularity contest. Yeah, I get you.
No,
I get you.
Because All-Star is, and then All-NBA is like a performance contest, whereas All-Star is more of a popularity contest. But I love the All-Star weekend. So, as you know, I'm a big... I mean, I got All-Star jersey.
We both love it. We both love it. We're going to have to take a break here, Kate. But when we come back, we're going to be talking about the Sacramento Kings. Are they for real? We'll be right back. Okay, Kaunda, let's get into it. The Sacramento Kings, are they for real? Are they a real team? Do they even exist? Are they a figment of our imagination? I've always
had
a soft spot.
You're going to get into trouble with Coach Mike Brown, who was the assistant coach at your favorite franchise.
And also head coach of the Nigerian basketball team. Word up, Mike Brown. The Sacramento Kings, I've had a soft spot for a long time. I love an underdog story, and I've always wanted them to do well. But they're also kind of like, there's the Cinderella story, and then there's the nightmare of being the Sacramento Kings, who haven't been in the playoffs in almost 20 years. It's been a way too long time for them being out of the playoffs. Now, we're looking at the Sacramento Kings, and we're like, oh my goodness. As we're recording this calendar, the Sacramento Kings are sitting in fifth position in the Western Conference with a record of 10-7. 10 wins, 7 losses. They are above 500. They're one game off from the top spot in the Western Conference. And their statistical numbers are pretty impressive. If we look at the advanced stats, they are second in the NBA in offensive rating, just behind the Boston Celtics, which is incredible to see. And then when you look at it, their defensive numbers haven't been great, but they're also still trying. They're doing a little bit better than last season, though they are like in the doldrums in 25th spot for defensive rating. But their net rating is where we've got to really pay attention. Seventh in the NBA in net rating. That's better than the Jazz. That's better than the Sixers, Raptors, and a few other teams like the Nuggets or the Hawks. Or, you know, these are really big teams. So we've got to give it up to the job that Mike Brown's doing there. Kaunda, what have you seen in this Kings team that has made people sort of, well, firstly, they're achieving, then secondly, people are actually taking notice?
Determination, Cyrus, that hunger, the zeal, they want it. They want to win. They're tired of being considered that franchise that hasn't seen the postseason in X amount of years and have just had disaster story after disaster story, and people say, or even the likes of, Isaiah Thomas have played there, even the likes of DeMarcus Cousins have played there, but this franchise hasn't really achieved much. And I think at the moment they've got some nice pieces. I was very worried when they let go of the likes of Buddy Hield and Tyrese Halliburton, but if you look at who they got in Domantas Sabonis, who's a very efficient
he's
big.
He's been so good.
And he's been so good for that franchise. I don't think bringing Mike Brown as the head coach was a bad decision, because I think he's gotten them to trust him, and I think he's trusting his players. They're like, De'Aaron Fox always been a fan since he was a rookie, and then when he hit that weight room, and now he's a bigger fox. You know, he's not like the little swiper fox that we knew him as. Now he's a big fox. So I like what they're doing, Cyrus. I mean, they've got one of your favorite I say that with inverted commas. Your favorite power forwards in Harrison Barnes, who owes you a favor. I think
a whole championship.
He's proving to be a great, you know, role player there. So they've got the likes of Keegan Murray. I mean, the Lakers let go of Malik Monk, who's a great shooter, and he's been shooting pretty decently at that franchise. Cyrus.
Yep.
Davion Mitchell.
Kevin Huerter.
Kevin Huerter. Davion Mitchell, also a great defender. On the ball. When you even the likes of LeBron James have to think twice when they're coming up against a smaller person like Davion Mitchell, because he's got those active hands and he's quite a big guy in terms of
he's stocky.
Girth. You know, he's stocky. So, Cyrus, you know, people might say, are the Sacramento Kings for real? And I'll say, of course they are. And when it's time to perform, right now they're performing, and it's impressive because what I would have called sure shots that you and I called at the beginning of the season, your likes of the Warriors are struggling at the moment, and they're taking advantage of the fact that the bigger guys are struggling. And you know, if you look at California, Sacramento has never been the sexiest place to be in Cali, right? So they're taking advantage of this and saying, look, we forget all the bad stuff that Vladdy and them did in terms of decisions, team decisions and drafts and trades and whatever, we're going to go out. Despite the fact that they let go of some of my favorite pieces besides De'Aaron Fox and the likes of Tyrese and Buddy, but still that team, who is the his surname is the third. I forget. Big guy, lanky frame, now plays at the Pistons. Marvin Bagley the third. I used to like those kids where I thought they would grow together and become, you know, some sort of Warriors-esque kind of franchise, but obviously that didn't work because there's only one Warriors out there. But Cyrus, I like what the Kings are doing. It's always great when you see a franchise, especially people like once upon a time they were talking at the Cavs and saying there hasn't been a championship in Cleveland in 50 years. Then all of a sudden, boom! I'm not saying
history is there to be made, and records are there to be broken. And I think the Kings are on a trajectory to do something. We've got to qualify this, right? We're not saying they're going to go out there and be like Western Conference finalists, the Sacramento Kings. We're not necessarily saying that. We're not saying it's impossible, but we're not saying that. And I think what's great is like you're seeing the owner and chairman of Vivek Ranadive doing quite well this season. You know, he's made some bad moves in the past, and you know, the Vlade move has cost this franchise, if we're being totally honest. They just didn't get going. But in recent years, coaching changes have not been great. I mean, Elvin Gentry was okay, but you know, they've had some really, really bad
coaches like
Mr. Walton, Luke Walton, just wasn't particularly good there. Things were pretty good under Dave Yeager, but even then, it wasn't at the point where they were like, okay, the Kings are back. We're doing what we need to do. So when you look at this Kings roster, as you mentioned, like the likes of Malik Monk, De'Aaron Fox, Kevin Huerter, Domantas Sabonis, Keegan Murray, even as their rookie, Harrison Barnes, who, you know, I have my issues with that on occasion. But this Kings team should make the playoffs. That's basically what they're trying to do. They're trying to just be a better team than they've been in the past, and they've been a bad team. And I think the other thing and the key thing here is they currently hold the record in the United States of being the longest serving team outside of having ever reached the playoffs, not ever. I think it's going on 16 years now. So they need to change.
They need to perform. They need to reach that. And I like the fact that they got a young leader in one De'Aaron Fox who can help them reach that. And that, I think that would do a lot for his morale, for his, you know, self confidence and just being that person who can say, look, I'm the de facto leader here, and I did what some of my predecessors couldn't do. And I think it'll start turning the wheels in a franchise which has been overlooked, overshadowed, and somewhat ignored due to lack of confidence. It kind of reminds me of when here I go again. LeBron James took a no-name brand. A no-name brand
other examples.
To the finals, and although they got swept by the very unbeatable at the time San Antonio
Spurs. Yeah.
Spurs. You know, it reminds me of that. Also reminds me of 2015 when a young Steph Curry and a young Klay Thompson were like, we are taking this franchise all the way. But to qualify it again, we're not saying the Sacramento Kings are championship
there are no Steph Currys there. Yeah,
it would be beautiful to see them have even a young, and I use young in inverted commas, playoffs berth, and we can say, you know, they've broken that curse, if you will, of saying they always either only come close or don't even come close at all. And, you know,
exactly.
Good luck to the guys. They're real. There's nothing fake about what they're doing. They're not beating, teams that are like injury prone or just, you know, without their stars.
They're beating good teams.
Good teams and they're
right,
doing what
the
they
right
need
way.
To do. Yeah, the right way.
And I love
big
that.
Shout out to Mike Brown. Big shout out to De'Aaron Fox and his supporting cast, if I may say that. And DeMantis Sabonis,
yeah.
Of course.
And I agree with you. I think they have to get their props. And what's interesting, I mean, you talk about De'Aaron Fox. He came into the league in 2017, and he's just gotten better and better over the years. Some people have said he hasn't lived up to the promise that he's showed. And I think that's kind of fair in some spaces. But right now, he's averaging the most points he's ever averaged in the NBA at 25.4 points per game. But it's the efficiency numbers as well, which are really, really important, because he's scoring at like a field goal percentage of 54.1%, which is really good. He's also making his free throws. He's shooting at 81% from the line. So, you know, even his assist numbers are up. I mean, he's averaging 6.7 assists per game, not as high as his highest average of 7.3 assists per game that happened in the 18-19 season. But De'Aaron Fox is really growing and maturing, and he's doing it at the right time in games. He's not fading. And, you know, he used to fade late in games. Now we're seeing him actually step up and make those big time buckets when he needs to. And he's got guys around him who are eager and keen to push this ship in the right direction. Like the likes of Kevin Huerter, who's been really good. Malik Monk has been sensational for them as a player, and they haven't missed the likes of Buddy Hield. They've just been being able to grow and push from where they were before. And Mike Brown has been really central to getting the good vibes back in Sacramento. So I think they're going to make the playoffs. I think I called that in our predictions at the beginning of the season. And I think we got to keep watching them. We definitely have to keep watching them, because they're a team who will delight and excite and frustrate in equal measure. And they also won on my birthday, which is cool, because, you know, I like them and I like to see them succeed. Kaunda, we're coming to the end of the podcast.
Are we?
And we've got,
happy belated birthday, by the way.
Thanks. I saw you on the day, but I appreciate it on the podcast.
I haven't yet bought you a gift, but I'm thinking of something.
It's all good. By the time I get it, it'll be...
No, it's Black Friday, so I can save money on your gift. You know how
nice.
I was waiting for Black Friday so I could pay half price for your gift.
Kaunda up there making sure he makes the most of them deals. Speaking of deals, let's get into the games to watch this weekend in our post-up betting corner. We were going to be talking about some of the games that you should potentially look at, and we'll give you some of our thoughts as to what could happen. So we've got a list of about five games that are going to be played over the weekend, some really big ones. Kaunda, the Cavs play the Bucks early Saturday morning, so that's 3 a.m.,
Central
I gotta
African
get
time.
Your prediction. Yeah, 3 a.m. Central African time. Who do you think is gonna win that one? The Cavs or the Bucks?
Saras, I'm giving it to the Bucks. I'm a strong believer in Giannis and the Bucks at the moment. So much so that I know the Cavs are doing well at the moment. That starting five is beautiful. You got Mitchell, you've got Garland, you've got Mobley, they're just great, and they've got the likes of Kevin Love coming off the bench.
Yeah.
Cyrus, they're looking great. They've got the throw, blocking shots. It's Giannis on the Bucks. I'm a Bucks believer, especially because the squad is relatively healthy. So yeah, I'm a Bucks believer.
Okay. I like that pick. I think I'm going to probably, my gut is telling me Cleveland to win, but I'm looking at this and they're playing in Milwaukee. So I think the Bucks might be fired up for this one. They've had a couple of bad losses recently. So yeah, I think I'll go with the Bucks in that one. The next one, at the same time, early Saturday morning, Central African time, 3 a.m., Pelicans take on the Grizzlies. Ja Morant versus Zion Williamson, Duke teammates. Who are you picking in that one? Grizzlies at home?
The thing is Ja Morant ready to hit the floor? Because, you know, he was recently injured.
He did play in the Grizzlies' most recent game.
Yeah, so if you tell me, you know, the Pels have been looking really nice. I like the kind of rhythm they've managed to get and the way they're playing, but I can't bet against those youngsters in Memphis, Tennessee.
Okay.
So I'm going with Ja Morant. I'm going with Dylan Brooks. Cyrus, I'm liking what I'm seeing from Memphis.
Tennessee, so Memphis for you. Okay. Yes, Memphis, okay. Tennessee. I'm actually going to pick the Pelicans in this one. I think Zion is on a bit of a revenge tour at the moment where he's trying to prove to people that he is the Zion Williamson that everybody was raving about. And I think that he's got a chip on his shoulder. So I'm going to go with the Pelicans in that particular game. Look, he's focused, Kounder. He's focused. There's no question. I think people should be worried that Zion Williamson is definitely going to be doing stuff. It's just that the Pelicans have been missing CJ McCollum. He's nursing an injury at the moment, but yep, I'm still going to go Pels in this one. Early Sunday morning. It's actually midnight Saturday into early Sunday. We've got the Mavericks taking on the Raptors in Toronto. Luka could be putting on a show. It's one to watch. Who are you picking?
I'm going to give this one to the Raptors. I think they got home court. Cyrus, yeah. It is freezing in Toronto right now. And the Mavs are coming from Texas, which is a relatively warm
relatively warm state, is putting it mildly.
In the States. So they're going to have that change of temperature. And I know the arenas are temperature controlled, but I'm just being silly. But yeah, home court advantage. I got to give this one to my man, Masai Ujiri. I got to give Pascal Siakam, OG Anunoby. What's happening?
Okay,
big shout
nice.
Out to Fred VanVleet.
Big shout out to all of the Raptors. I'm going to be shouting them down because I think the Mavs are going to take that one. As much as I love the Raptors,
why?
They have been missing. So Pascal's been injured. Scotty Barnes has been injured as well. So yes, they do have Freddie. Yes, they do have a few of the other players on that team
Precious.
Who should be. Precious is there. But, you know, we're talking about Gary Trent Jr. I'm just not sure that they've got Chris Boucher, the right chemistry mix in order to...
I'm reaching here.
You've reached all the way through. And I'm saying this might be a Luka Magic kind of game where he goes to Toronto, shows them what's up. So, yeah, that's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking Mavs in that one. Now, we've got two really great games Sunday evening. One starts at 10 p.m. Central African time. It's the Blazers versus the Nets in Brooklyn. Your pick, please.
I got to give it to Brooklyn. BKNY all day. Where
okay.
Brooklyn at? KD and Kyrie is back from suspension. The pieces around them are looking good. I've seen some, you know, as much as we've been questioning Ben Simmons and sometimes laughing
There's
at him.
There's been some life.
Some life coming. He's catching those lobs. Sometimes he's up there, you know, playing Lob City in Brooklyn. I'm liking what I'm seeing even from young Ben Simmons. I mean, Patty Mills comes in off the bench beautifully. Cyrus, not Gary Harris, Joe Harris. Joe Harris is looking good. Shooting.
Seth Curry's back.
Seth Curry's back. Nah, I got to give it to Brooklyn. BKNY.
Okay.
All day. Barclays,
look,
baby.
As we record this, they're still under 500, but I see why you would go with them. They've got a fairly strong team on paper. The Trailblazers have been on a bit of a losing streak. They've lost four in a row as we record this. So, yeah, I think we're both going Nets in this particular one, but it's a nice game. It's nice and early for us here in the African continent.
It's going to be beautiful, Cyrus.
So I think it'll be one to watch.
It's going to be a win, but it's not going to be an easy win, because the Portland Trailblazers have also showed us a couple of times this season already, Cyrus, that they're not to be slept on. They've got number of good pieces in the backcourt and in the front court, because you got the likes of obviously Dame, and then you've got Anthony Simons, who doesn't want to be overlooked. Then even Nurkic sometimes is like, okay, Nurk. So we
had some good games. Jeremy Grant.
Jeremy Grant, that was a good pickup for them, Cyrus. I know I'm picking BKNY outright here, but I know the Blazers will give them a good fight.
Well, let's see what happens. We've got the time. Now, we've got one more game to talk about. It's the Warriors versus the Timberwolves. That's happening at 10:30 Sunday evening. I think that is the NBA Sunday's clash. It's happening in Minnesota. And this could be a really interesting game. Warriors have been terrible on the road, and they're on the road again. Who are you picking to win this one?
The Minnesota Timberwolves, Cyrus. That's why I've been dancing while you've been doing your leader, because you've been thinking I'm going to go Steph. Big shout out Steph, one of my favorite shooters. But still, I think size-wise in the front court and even skill in the back court, obviously – nobody at the Wolves can touch Steph. And Clay in the previous game looked like old Clay came back after I spoke smack about him in our last podcast. So I know the Warriors are going to take it to them, but I think the Timberwolves can take this one. And it's in Minnesota, right?
Yes, it is.
So I think that's going to be an interesting dynamic. Are going to receive the visitors, give them a warm welcome, and give them a classic beating. That's what I think.
A classic beating. Kaunda Chama, you certainly say the loveliest things about the Timberwolves. I think, though, that I do agree with you. I think this is going to be a game that the T-Wolves will probably look at and say, yeah, we should be able to beat the Warriors. They've got the size on them. And that's always a key indicator as to what could go against the Dubs, because they have struggled against teams who are a little bigger than them. And that's been problematic. But we'll have to see.
It's going to be all about perimeter defense. Sorry, I jumped in before you gave your prediction.
I think it's going to be the T-Wolves in this one. I think they're going to play on the inside. I think they're going to force the Warriors into trying and guard their two bigs. And we might see Cat really try and go to work, and Rudy Gobert try and go to work. The Wolves have not necessarily been particularly good this season, but they're in eighth place. You know, they're above 500. They've won five games on the trot as we record this. So, you know, they're in a good place. And I think that's going to be a really tough, tough game for the Warriors, I love the Warriors, but we've got to be realistic here. I think the T-Wolves might just be in a space to beat them in this particular game. But Kaunda, that's it. We've come to the end of the podcast. We've made our predictions. We've gotten through all of it. We've spoken about the youngsters. We spoke about the Kings. And then we spoke about the games to watch. Thank you so much, bud. It's been emotional.
Absolutely, Cyrus. All levels of emotional, but it's always great to share the stage with you and, have our listeners with us, listening to our predictions and our, cacophony, which we call this podcast. This is what we do, and we love the people that listen to us while we do it.
Exactly. Love what you do and do what you love. Thank you, everybody. Yep. Here are our social media handles again, at Post Up Podcast on Twitter, at Post Up Zone on Instagram, and at Post Up Zone on Facebook. For all things NBA from an African perspective, you must be listening to the Post Up Podcast. Thank you to our partners, supersport.com and bet.co.za. That's BetCoza. We'll be right back again next week with another Post Up Podcast for you. So don't go too far, because you can catch us courtside.